Android App Addicts, episode 521. Dor talks about Stardew Valley again. Hey everybody, welcome to Android App Addicts. This is episode number 521. I don't know why I got a thumbs up. This is the podcast for Android enthusiasts and geeks and technology lovers. Tonight it's the dynamic duo, Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin, and myself, Eric Ardini, the manager. And I would have to say it's cold outside, Door. How are you doing?
Well, and that's why I'm shocked that you ran to turn your furnace off. I mean, I appreciate it, and the listeners might appreciate it as well, but I would also appreciate your family not freezing.
I would appreciate living in a climate where I wouldn't have a furnace on yet.
Well, there's no perfection. Then you would say the opposite thing. I wish I didn't have to turn on the air conditioner so soon.
Okay, yeah, maybe. I don't complain about heat, though. I'll go to Florida in August. It's fine with me. I will complain about the cold, though. I feel closer to death in the cold.
Well, I think there's a reason for that. I hope you had a good week.
Yeah, it was busy. I am on the Institute Training Committee, so I have a big part in getting a week-long convention all set up to go every year for the next two more years. Next year, I'll be teaching an 8-hour class at the convention myself. And this year is just putting out fires and sitting in on, sessions, making sure everybody's got enough water in their glasses and candy in their dishes, whatever.
Do you have to worry about LCD projectors or audio systems at all?
I do help a little bit when I can slide by, but if you can't get caught doing that because that's all union jobs. And they don't want you touching that stuff.
No, that's good. Then you don't have to worry about it. So if I don't have to worry about you, you as a prototypical government employee can just throw your hands up.
I do have I've got a merch table that I have to go down and set up at 5:30 every morning, to have all the stuff that people buy to take back home into their offices or whatever. So that's a big part of my thing. And it was decent, I guess. It's just a lot of hours. A lot of driving. I had to drive back up here and back down again during the week to go to a meeting up here. So that was about 6 hours of driving for an hour and a half meeting. That was exciting.
That doesn't seem good.
No, it shouldn't have happened, but yeah, it happens. Hey, I got hardware news. Do you have hardware news?
You first.
Okay. So my first hardware news comes with an app. So I will go ahead and paste that in here. Copy. And this is not a new piece of hardware in any way, but I went to a Target, and since the Pixel 3 was coming out, they had these Pixel 2 live cases from Google on sale, and this is the official Pixel 2 case. So basically, it looks like it's a piece of Google Earth, like a random photo from Google Earth, and then they've got like...
Bad link.
Oh, no. Okay.
Links don't end in pluses.
They don't?
Nope.
Oh. Let's see. Oh, no. This one ends in apps. Sorry about that. So these cases come with a little app, and it gives you basically a different screenshot from Google Earth every day. It's like 1,000 pictures or something like that. The first one you get matches your phone exactly, and then it changes every day after that.
Okay. So the case is static, stagnant.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
But you can't activate the app without the case. Some kind of a gimmick. Now, on the Pixel, the original one actually had an NFC chip in it to activate the app. But that one didn't work too well, so now there's a code embedded in here that you type in when you install the app. And so this was on sale for $20, so I figured I'd try a case on it for a while.
As long as it isn't too thick, I think I would be okay with it.
Yeah, no, it's thin, and it's kind of a attention getting... you're not going to leave this somewhere, and you're not going to be confused with it being somebody else's phone. And I like the way they did the buttons really nicely on the side. You're not pressing the actual button of the phone, but the way they designed it in the case was really well done. So I'll probably rock it for a while.
Gotcha. I will say I think it's hilarious. The Pixel 3 only has 4 gigs of RAM, and it very quickly kills other apps in the background is what they're saying. And I'm just literally cackling because the exact same people a week ago were just spewing out their mouth like a bad Monty Python sketch with just stuff just shooting out of their mouth, compliments about how great it was, basically begging Google, please send us one or another one, or keep sending us one, whatever. To have such a thing happen is ridiculously, absurdly incompetent. Okay, just in case people don't know, Mobile Dynasty and Droid Nation were two other Android-based shows I was on. The one thing that we learned back then was it takes a solid 24 months for the phone to go from somebody's idea to being sold in stores. I'm sure it's a little bit shorter, but there's no way it's shorter than 18 months, okay? So 18 months in development, okay? For at least 6 months, the like stuff's been leaking. So it's been near ready shipping for at least like 3 to 4 months. And they deliver it on day one, where it literally crashes apps in the background. And it does it during one of their most proudest moments, where they shout and scream in people's faces about how great the camera is. You load the camera, basically kills every app in the back, because 4 gigs of RAM is not enough for a power-intensive application like their camera app. So I find it absolutely hysterical that these people are paying $800+ for a phone that cannot even run music while taking a picture.
We'll see how that goes, because I think my Pixel 2 is going to get that camera app if it hasn't already. And I've only got 4 gigs also. But I've never had an issue.
If it does, I have to believe on older devices, they're going to remove a feature or two dynamically when you launch the app. I have to believe it.
The one feature I've been reading about just this week has to do with a low light picture mode that it seems to be pretty quality. But I'll wait.
I know,
hopefully,
but you understand that they're still lying, because they haven't seen it yet. Google admitted we're going to roll it out.
Yeah, I keep looking for the update on my camera app, but
yeah, because it's in like a week. No one's seen it yet. We've seen supposed static pictures of what the pictures will look like. What the hell are we supposed to tell from that?
So we haven't seen pictures from a Google Pixel 3 yet with these.
We have not had a chance. Anybody in any sense have had a chance to play with the app in its true night mode potential.
Yeah,
it's coming. It hasn't happened yet. It might have happened hours ago, I'll say that, but I don't think so. It hasn't happened yet, and it's not happening for a couple more days. Yet people keep spouting about how great that part is too. Well, congratulations, I guess. Google, great job on marketing. Fantastic job on marketing.
I guess so. I'm not in any way intrigued enough about the Pixel 3 to purchase one. My Pixel 2, you know, and I'm not one who trades phones in. I mean, last year, I guess I traded my phone in. I did a lot of swapping last year of phones, but I'll hold one for a few years. You know, you're the same way, Dor. This phone that I got, this Pixel 2, is still just fine for me. I'm not, I'm not missing anything, and two, it's not really slowing down. I did have some battery issues last week, but then I sent a new update yesterday, so hopefully that'll change that. But it was suddenly, I mean, I was suddenly battery issues. And hopefully it was just a small amount of time thing, because today it doesn't seem the same, but I don't know. Like you said before, it's hard to gauge battery issues, but you do, when you are having something going on, you can definitely tell when it got worse suddenly.
Yes, it's kind of like the Supreme Court and pornography. I know it when I see it. How do you explain it? Well, it's difficult to explain because, you know, a whole bunch of different things can happen with battery issues. What I'll say is we don't jump to other devices all the time because we are first and foremost normal people podcasting to normal people. We are not journalists aspiring to be the Kim Kardashian of cell phones.
Speak for yourself.
Well, there's a couple people out there who do content who really do. I have a passion and a love of the device itself, and it shows through. I'll say
Of multiple devices, like lots of devices.
Well, yeah, they go through them like crazy. Like the one I'll say is Tank Girl.
Marcus Brownlee too. I like.
He is a smart guy. I'll say that. But with her, she makes no qualms about it. You know, I can't communicate with normal people. I'm not them. I have this, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. And she's open about it. And she craves and loves the highest of the highest end cameras. And she'll at any point in time tell you the five best cameras on the market. And typically the number one costs almost twice as much as the number two. And that still holds true today. Where like the number two camera, I want to say is around 500, just under 500. So, you know, the only news I have in hardware news personally is like, today, for instance, three separate times, my phone jumps from 70% or whatever to completely dead and powers off. And then I leave it plugged up and it sits at 0% for sometimes up to an hour. And then it starts going 10%. It doesn't even go in like 10, 11, 12%. It literally jumps 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 in like a minute. And then the phone powers up and then I use it. And then, you know, when I have it unplugged for about an hour, it goes dead. But here's the thing. I will say if I really wanted another phone, I would already have another phone already in my hand. It's almost the yin and yang of life, Eric. You know what I mean? I try to explain to my children, gather around. I love you. You look funny. Oh, wait, no. I try to tell them in life, you have to have the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. The up and the down. There's no such thing as a perfect, never-ending, you know, great. There's always bad stuff happening. So I'm going to use this phone until it, like, blows up in my hand or it just will not boot after, like, a day. And then I'll get a new device. The reason being, I'm going to be so... My expectations will be so low and I'll be so happy.
Oh, the new...
So happy.
Yeah, the new device will be just so much better. If you're absolutely on your phone's last leg.
Well, that to me is one of the truths that I do it. And the other reason is just because we're normal people. We cannot just at a whim say we want a $400, $500, $700 phone. We can't. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm doing. And I'm holding off. The Mate SE is really looking good. Essential phone, I'm not going to lie. The hardware is... silly crazy for the price. Silly crazy, great price, and you get good hardware. But it's the company itself. I don't think it's even going to be around. So I don't care about, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, biding my time a little
and
bit.
And that's the thing, too, because every day you wait, there's another phone to throw to the mix, possibly.
Well, and that's the thing. It is always and perpetually the wrong time to buy a phone. I've said this for, I know, at least 2 years. It is always the wrong time to buy a phone because something will come out and something will happen. I will say, you say Mix. The one that caught my eye was the Mi Mix 3, unfortunately, $700.
Mm.
But everything you can imagine in the phone, it is in that phone, and it's completely bezel-less, completely bezel-less, completely ridiculously bezel-less, which I don't care if it's a gimmick. I would at least once, you know, jump into it. I'm going to get something, you know, I'm going to take my time. My wife thinks I can hold off till Christmas. Oh, I don't know how it must feel to be so delusional, but I still love
it. It's not that far off.
There's no way this phone's going to last two more months.
Well,
there's no way. I will be utterly shocked at, you know.
So are you gonna go to Swappa or are you gonna order something from China? What are you thinking?
Well, I'll say this: Swappa is always an option, and I'll say this once again to everybody: you don't just walk by Swappa, see something, buy it, and, you know, virtually walk out. That's not how you shop on Swappa. On Swappa, you actually do the opposite. You browse Swappa, you log in with like your Google creds or whatever, and then you find devices that you like. Don't look at the price, or you can, you know, think, well, right now it's $300. You know, maybe I can get it for $280. You know, if you want to do that, you can. But find devices you like, and then just subscribe to them. And then every time a new device is posted in that category, you will get instant notification. And I guarantee you right now, first thing, it's like eBay. Look at the buyer, look at their rating, see how much activity they have. The more activity they have, the more you can trust them. You know, it's a trust scale. But I almost guarantee you this. I've bought at least five devices from Swappa. Every time I ping them as soon as I can when I see a device that I really like and it's too much money, and I offer them less money immediately. And honestly, not a lot less money, but less money. And half the time they bite and say, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just because convenience, you know, bang, it's sold. It might be a swap of purchase. I don't know. It Amazon, I believe they just took the Mate SE off of Amazon. Now, the Mate 7X, I believe, is the international version of the Mate SE, but it has less RAM, like 1 gig less RAM or something like that. It's weird. So I don't know. If the Essential goes down to, like, you know, 220 again, it might be that. I don't know.
That's the one that our friends in the Google Plus community have been watching and buying, right?
Is that at least two of them, I want to say, bought.
It's been fluctuating all over the place for prices.
The price is just bouncing all over the place. And it's because the company is, I'll be shocked if it's in business in another year. Hmm. They announced their next phone, but their next phone isn't a phone. It's a appliance that's smaller than a phone that you somehow program to automatically react to whatever incoming messages. It will automatically react, and you can use it as a phone, but that's it.
Can it react with a ringtone?
I don't know.
And a answer button?
I don't know. It's completely, as far as I can tell, vaporware. Because I don't know if it's even going to get launched.
Okay,
and I'll say this real quick, Eric. I was listening to Alphabet Scoop. Is the name of the podcast.
Okay.
A different podcast, I want to say. All about Alphabet, not just Google kind of thing. One of the things they said, which I thought very interesting, was the last Google event, they never once said the word Android.
Right.
Which is rare, which is, you know, telling. It's something, why? That's planned. You don't just do that. That's planned. Fuchsia, we've talked about on and off to the show. And I remember insulting, I don't know who the hell it was, from Libsyn or whatever.
I know who it was.
Some old timer who swore he knew.
I know exactly about who it was. How,
yeah, who like swore that he knew the future of phones. And I said, well, what do you think about Fuchsia? What's Fuchsia? What the hell do you mean? What do you mean?
Well,
he
worked for Microsoft before he worked for Libsyn, so he's kind of out of the loop.
Yes, I'll agree. Now, the thing is, that is an alternate operating system where we already seen what an interface looks like. Okay. What they said on Alphabet Scoop is, what if Fuchsia is the next Android? They literally drop Android completely. They stop with the next thing is Fuchsia. And what Fuchsia really is nothing more than Google Assistant device, where it's a very cheap, small, low price device. All you need is connectivity to the cloud, and everything you ask it to do, it will do. And like with the instant apps, they'll be able to do instant apps on the device at like a whim.
Where did those go? You know, what happened with that thing? We talked about it 8 months ago, probably.
And the only mainline app that I knew that supported it was a shopping app called Wish.
Mm.
I want to say that I never heard of before, but apparently it's popular.
It's popular because they sell knockoff of everything. And so now there's tons of YouTube videos comparing the real thing to the Wish version of it.
Oh, so it's like you wish you had the real thing? Is that
what it is? Yeah. I mean, I wish I would have paid 70% more and got the something that's not as cheap and junky.
Right. And I will say, from those, again, Alphabet Scoop guys, that sounds unbelievably plausible. But 99% of the time when I try to predict anything, I'm like completely off. So I don't know if it's just, you know, tickling something in my brain that's making me agree with that, what they said, but I don't know.
So is this our last version of Android? Or the one, what are we on now? L, Z?
P?
P. Yes,
Pi.
We're on Pi.
Yeah, because we haven't had quiche yet or whatever.
Elemental PQ. Yeah, what's...
See, quiche I don't even think is Q, so I don't know. But I don't know. Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what they do. Because one of the things Mark said last week is unbelievably true. If you take a look at the Android numbers, if P is the last version, there will be millions of P devices still active in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way it works.
I got one more piece of hardware news. I'll put the link in here again. But this was I brought it up a couple of weeks ago when I ordered it. And it's the ZTE Quartz Smart Watch. Now, these are like $40, refurbished and used on eBay all day long now. And I got it, and I was a little miffed because it wasn't updating to the newest Wear OS version. And now it has, and it seems fine. I'm not very versed with the new Wear OS because my old watch gave up on me, and I never made it to Wear OS with that. So it's a learning curve a little bit. This one has a physical button on the side where my old watch was all just tap. But for the price, it's pretty spunky phone. Battery life is about all day. I think I may have looked at it one time, and it was maybe once late at night. It didn't make it through the day, I think. But yeah,
it doesn't even make it a whole day.
I think one time it didn't, but I don't remember the circumstances. It might have been really late at night.
Well, the face is all mechanical, right?
No,
that's not a screen. That is.
Is a screen. Yeah, it's a smartwatch.
Oh, I thought it was a physical.
No, so this is so we're at what time? It's 43% still charged right now at this time of night.
Gotcha.
So that's I think I'm happy with the battery. No, this is totally a smartwatch running the latest Wear OS.
Do you know if the band is like a universal type you can swap out?
It's a universal size. That's one thing I don't like about it. I was working out in the garage last night, and the band has two extra clasps here to hold it up tight, and it's all rubbery, and it really pinched my wrist. The two pieces of rubber came up together and pinched my wrist. It's also got these quick release. Must be a new thing for watch bands. They got like a quick release now, so you can swap them out faster. I never knew about this, but it actually has nubs that point at your skin a little bit. I don't feel them, but it was just surprising that they'd have this little piece of metal. I don't know if you can see that. Little white piece of metal there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily just slide that over and pop the band off and pop a new one on. So yeah, it's kind of thick. See the thick one? But my wife's got the HTC watch. No, Huawei watch. It's about the same thickness. This one is a bigger. This is like a man's watch, where that one might be more of a girl's, because this has the larger size of the two band sizes.
Gotcha.
It's got built-in speaker in it. You know, it vibrates. You can. I haven't found a way to cast a podcast over to it to listen to it. When I try to ask it to play a podcast, it wants to open iHeartRadio. So I need to work on that, and maybe, I don't know, Podcast Addicts is going to work at some point to do a Wear, because it would be nice if I could be like out, you know, doing yard work or working in the garage, leave my phone in my pocket and just listen to it off the speaker that's on the watch, you know, so that I never have it in my pocket's not buried.
So do you know if you can like connect a Bluetooth headset to the watch?
I probably can. It's got Bluetooth. I don't know that I can for sure.
Yeah. Because that's what I was thinking. It might be only Bluetooth from that to your phone.
Yeah, it might be. I can take phone calls and talk to the phone and leave the phone in my pocket, or talk to the watch, answer the phone call and talk to the watch and listen to the person on my watch without ever taking out my phone.
Gotcha. That's like Get Smart, Dick Tracy level stuff.
My son's going to be in Get Smart the play next week at the high school. That's what their play is. Yeah.
99, Jaime, Chief, Siegfried.
He's, I don't know. Agent 13.
Agent 13. So, was he the guy in the
always in the trash can and hiding
places?
And
all you could see was his face. Yeah.
The trees. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was always someplace you'd like open up the mail slot and he would be in there.
Then Maxwell Smart would throw the destructing note in there with him.
But I want to say it was maybe like season 3 where finally he like said, look, I'm really getting sick and tired of this. I'm getting no respect. He pulled like a Dangerfield like line. I used to idolize him as an actor, Don Adams, and that show Max Get Smart. I thought it was fantastic. I'm old.
No, I'm old with you. Do you want to talk about any other hardware news?
The only other app news I'm going to do is there is a dock that got released. Okay. It's literally a Google doc. Like right now there's 58 people looking at it. I think it's kind of funny. These are apps on the App Store. Okay. Now we've seen this. I'm going to first proceed this with, we've seen this in Google Chrome, and I don't know about Firefox, but we had, popular plugins get sold to somebody else. They maintain the plugin for X amount of time, you know, try to get it maybe a little bit more popular. And then when they think the time is right, they then change the code for it to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is why auditing, constant ongoing auditing is, I don't want to say the key to security, but if you're only checking new things as they, you know, like come into your house, then you're missing things that are already there. And I'll say the number of things on your device versus the number of new things coming on your device is monumentally more, okay? Period. That's just the way I think really it is there's just too many of them. And so what happened was there's wide range of reports. Some people say like $40 million. Some people say $70 million. Some people say like $150 million was gained by the people behind these apps. And what happened was they literally watched people's behaviors. There's frameworks that are commonly available for developers of all types, okay, where you put it in your app and what it does is it will literally record without recording video. It will record where you're at on the screen, where you click on the screen, how you drag on the screen, and then stuff like that. So they did that for a while, collecting data. Then basically what they did was they faked a bunch of activity based upon real users' activities, except it then clicked the ads that they were making money off of. So it was like click jacking in a way, kind of thing. And here's the thing that I really want to emphasize to people. We might be normal people. Literally, we have 9-to-5 jobs. We do this for fun. We pay for everything basically out of our own pocket, and people support us when they can. None of the apps on this list are apps we've ever brought to any show, from what I can tell.
Yeah, I was looking through them. I was thinking the same thing.
And that's the thing. We've brought thousands of applications. Every other show, maybe 100, maybe 300, okay? Maybe 300. We've brought over 3,000 applications to this show, and not a single one of them is on this list. There's a reason for that. And the reason basically is we have like the instincts, like how Eric said, the battery thing. We can't really tell you how we know, but we know when we look at an app, we look at a name, we look at the icon, we look at the dev name, we look at the images. It's pretty obvious when something is crap and you shouldn't trust it. You know, so that's, I'm going to guess is the reason why we didn't bring any of these apps. I don't know.
And, you know, sometimes even though I see that it's crap, I'll still install it just in case I might be wrong, but I'll uninstall it and never tell you guys about it if it was actually that crappy.
Oh, there's at least one app on this list that I know I definitely did install in the past. I'm not going to lie. And I got no problem telling you, it was a Minesweeper game.
And did it work like a Minesweeper game?
Yes, but then I thought to myself, why the hell did I install a Minesweeper game? So I took it off my...
There's one on here that sounds pretty intriguing, though. If I scroll back
Well, up. There's a couple names that are not family-friendly, I'll say that.
There's one that was like Muscle Drift 2018 Pro or something like that. Like, wow, I don't even know what that would be just by the name of it. Sounds good, though. Sounds like a, I don't know, like a weightlifting and car racing mashup. Okay, well, we've got a couple of emails, so I thought we'll read those now. Our first email is from Lyle Lastinger, and Lyle says, wanted to let you guys know that I like how you divide the show. First part is about general stuff in mobile computing. Second part is about apps, games. It's not as interesting to me. Keep up the good work, Lyle. Well, thank you, Lyle. I'm sorry you had to go through our mix-up or the mashup the other day when we got disruptive and then changed it all around and started out with an email.
Well, I'll say this. I know Lyle. Lyle's a really good guy, really long-time Podnutsian guy. So first and foremost, thank you for the email, Lyle. He kind of made it clear to me that he loves when we talk especially about just general topics about computing, like security, privacy, you know, the ecosystems, the tendencies, the technologies. And he said the only thing he doesn't like is the games. And I'll say this. Right now, he's a little scorned because he went and bought a computer and then a video card, and he was trying to get it to work in Linux, and he was having a difficult time with it. So I'm going to guess that part of his dislike towards games might have came from that. Just saying. No, no. But now, really quick, Eric, privacy. I said the word privacy. Did you hear the Tim Cook thing?
No, I guess not.
I don't even remember where he was talking. I only listened to a section of it because listening to that man talk is maybe one of the most boring, mundane things I think I could put myself to. It's literally like he's a cross between a accountant and a tax guy, I guess. I don't know, but he really difficult to listen to. But he was basically trying to shame, and I've been using that word a lot lately. He was trying to shame companies like Facebook and companies like Google for what they do with your data. And I can picture him, like, you know, being, trying to be cocky about it. And I'll say this to anybody out there, including all these utterly stupid people I hear on podcasts, who state Apple is better because they care about your privacy. You know, they're better with your privacy. I really don't understand what drug the people are on who say that, because let me just make one thing really clear. Apple could care less about your end user privacy because you don't exist. They take all your data. What they care about is their privacy and their data, not you, end user. And for anyone to ever assume that, you have no idea how business works. They have to be beholden to the shareholder, do what's in the best interest for the shareholder. So their job is to basically take all your data and manipulate you as the best that they can for their own good. That's what their job is, not to protect your privacy and anybody to say anything remotely close to it. Because that was an utterly carefully measured and weighed statement that he was making. And unfortunately, it was completely filled with lies and misconceptions. So anybody out there who believes Apple has people's privacy in the best interest, you obviously don't understand how capitalism works.
Yeah, I don't think Facebook makes a device that first time you drop it, it cracks into a bunch of pieces either. Not that I would ever defend Facebook in any way. I can't stand them. Right. But.
Well, they make the new spy device called the Portal.
Oh, my goodness. I've been seeing a bunch of ads for that, and that's not good. And then the ads are just about people arguing with each other. I don't get there. It's like, oh, let's bring the evil of Facebook home.
Look, Facebook right now is beginning of the floundering. You know how, like, as soon as you pull a fish out and you lay it on the dock and it sits there, does nothing for a couple seconds, and then it starts to flounder around? Well, Facebook is just starting to flounder around. The number, okay, first off, they were found guilty last week in a lawsuit about their video stats. A couple years ago, they came out and said, we're going video, we're going video, we're going video. And everybody on Facebook who makes content is so dumb trying to tell me the number of views they have on their video. And I'm like, no, you don't. That's not how it works, kind of thing. And well, they were found guilty in court for lying about those numbers, how their videos work, and about how if you watched a split second of a video, they counted it as you watched the entire video. And they told advertisers, you watched the entire video. So they were basically stealing money from everyone based upon lies, and they were found guilty. And they have a percentage drop off of users in the last year that is unprecedented for their lifespan. So this could be the beginning of the end, or it could just be a downshift. But Instagram is where right now they're putting a lot of their stockpile in. That is growing, and they're making all kinds of money, and all kinds of stupid people are spending all kinds of money on Instagram.
Hmm. I
don't get me wrong.
I must be just an old fart because I don't do Instagram, and I can't stand Facebook. I mean, actually part of my job. I have to be on Facebook every day for my work. But if it wasn't for that part of my job, which I definitely let everybody know every time I talk to them about it, that worst part of my job right there, Facebook.
Well, I mean, I'm not on it. I'm not on it for a reason. I really actually hate social networks. I hated Friendster. I hated all of them. And I'm on Google Plus because there's more nerds on Google Plus than I think anything else.
Yeah, but on Google Plus, they're not telling me that nobody's telling everybody they're, well, maybe they are. Maybe I just don't see it. Maybe their algorithm's better, but I don't see every, this problem in my life today, or this great food I'm about to eat and all that.
Yeah. Well, there's one Linux guy who won't stop posting pictures of his food. I'll say that one guy, and I'm almost not following him, but you know, that's different. Yes. And I'll say that's not what Google Plus is about. And I'll say Instagram, to be honest, I have an account on there for the makers. When I 3D print thing and I put it in the white box and I take pictures, I post them there. Mm-hmm. Instagram actually isn't bad because you can very easily, even on the ads, they let you on the ads, click it and say report. And then you can report it and say it's spam. So that's why every single time I see an ad, click, report, spam, click, report, every single ad I see nonstop, I say that. And there are actually people on there who appear to be more normal. I don't know if they are posting normal kind of stuff. Like, I'm doing this print. We're going to this theme park. I just got this video game. I don't see any of the bad stuff on that one. So that one to me isn't horrible, but it's still Facebook.
Well, it's the we're going to the theme park. Check out this fake life that I'm putting out there for everybody to think of. See, Rhino says, I just posted my beer on Google Plus. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, Rhino. I in the chat room. And Ivor is also an old fart. Congratulations, Ivor. Welcome to the club. We are gray beards.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of basically any social network. I never have. Literally, never. The only social network I was involved with, I would say, was Trillion chat rooms, AOL chat rooms.
Oh, you didn't do ICQ?
Ask people if they needed help. Yeah.
ICQ. Yeah, Trillion was like the meta search of all of like the ICQ and all those other ones, wasn't it? Something like that.
It was the first one I think that I knew of where you could connect multiple protocols to it.
And then Friendster. So, yeah. Friendster did kind of the same thing.
Well, Friendster was the predecessor to MySpace. I couldn't do either of those websites. You know what I mean? Even though Weird Al sang about MySpace, I still couldn't be a part of it.
And Instagram, was that the one that was podcast app at first? One of them. Twitter. No, Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter was Odeo. I loved Odeo.
Yeah, that's right. Man. Uh-huh.
It's great.
Those are good times. Now we got Podcast Addict and we don't have to look for anything else. We've got another email from Jacopo Jenkins. Yeah, maybe. I might be right. Hi, guys. I'm a longtime listener. I work third shift and never miss a show. I like to say my budget doesn't allow me to contribute financially, but I've turned every Android friend and person I know onto your show, so I hope that bears fruit for the show. And thank you, Jacopo. That's all I ask. That's really... Show the love. I just wanted to chime in on the Assassin's Creed invite from Google. You guys were talking about it in the last episode. I signed up for an invite. I have two boys, 15 and 13, total gamer geeks, so I thought that they would love to play it. My oldest boy bought a $162 on sale Acer Chromebook from Walmart this summer with his summer job money. Congratulations, kid. So we receive the invite, and they hook up the Chromebook with a mouse and go online and sign up for an account and use a password. It assessed the hardware and our internet speed, and it was all deemed adequate. Our internet speed is not super fast, probably average. I must say that the game plays really smooth. It's hard to believe that it can play this smooth on a Chromebook with average to low-cost hardware. I think my son said 30 or so frame rate, but it's not glitchy, and they seem to love the gameplay. Right now, it's not playing the other people online, so it's just against the computer, but from what I hear, they will be adding that. We're really impressed with the online play and look forward to Google having gaming streaming service. I thought you guys would be interested in our little review. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Another Android for life. Thank you, Jacopo. I don't know if I got to tell you, I did get my invite to play the Assassin's Creed game, and I had the very similar experience. I did it on a desktop. And I tried while I was on my trip just to see. I took my Chromebook and I tried to do it from the hotel Wi-Fi, but it wasn't good enough to do it through there. But on this network connection here at home on an old Linux box, it works just fine. I didn't have a controller, so I was using the mouse and keyboard to control the game. It looked beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. $162 Chromebook. And I'm going to guess it's wireless, not wired.
Yeah, probably.
Because that, to me, is the big thing. Because most Chromebooks don't have NICs, especially, I would think, lower-end NICs.
Yeah.
So that is literally about crazy, is what I'm going to say, to have a $162 Chromebook being able to play this brand-new game that just also got released on PS4. I got a guy in Discord, Eddie, who is, like, hooked on the game. Hooked on the game, won't stop saying how good it is, and to have a good game playing experience on a $167 Chromebook it really does open the floodgates of possibilities. What I'm gonna say, I'm just gonna say, if Google does a gaming appliance, every company needs to worry big time.
Yeah, if they can get the hardware right that you hold in your hand, like just a great joystick, you know, for the user experience.
Right.
I think they,
well, that's just simple. That's just a USB connection away. I mean, there's nothing special fancy. If Google wants to be like the Apple, they can partner with 8-bit Duo or something and have, you know, a special edition, controllers kind of thing. Cause I'm going to tell you guys right now, the only thing that I'm positive about is, at this time in history, 2018, late in the year, we've had a lot of companies, I think, do a lot of things that they keep saying to themselves, we don't want to be the next IBM. We don't want to be the next IBM. We don't want to be the next GE. You know, we don't want to be, we want to be successful kind of thing. So there's little doubt in my mind, Google is doing everything in the best interest for not now, but for 3 years from now and 5 years from now. Because come January, that Assassin's Creed game is going to stop working in Chrome, because that's what they said. That's just, you know, because you got it for free or whatever. Don't worry about it. But the real question is, this is really just a test, and we don't know what they're actually testing for, towards, kind of thing. This could be insane, is all I'm going to say. You know, back before May, I kept swearing we were going to get a console at I.O. Yeti. Didn't happen, but something's happening.
You know, and maybe that's why Google does this thing that, you know, I personally hate it every time they do it, but then I get over it, when they purge products. So how many times have you been in a relatively discount retail store and saw some GE piece of crap electronics device that was probably made by some other company totally, and they slapped a GE name on it, further downgrading the quality thought process of yourself of anything that GE makes? You know, they're purging off these little bits and pieces so they don't have junk out there. You know, maybe things didn't work out quite as they had expected, and they threw a lot of money at something and it just wasn't happening. Google Plus, I really wish they wouldn't do that too, but maybe they see the writing on the wall. All social media is going away, and they want to be gone too.
I'll say this. I said it on DDG, so sorry for repeating myself. People listen to that. First off, Eric, there was no data breach. There was no reason to shut it down. Quote unquote, shut it down.
Gotcha.
Two, they're not shutting it down. It's going behind Google Suites or whatever. But here's the real thing. Three, they're shutting it down next August. Why? Why don't they just do it now? Why don't they just do it tomorrow? Why don't they just do it in 2 weeks? They're waiting till next August. Why are they waiting till next August? I don't know, but I'm going to say it wouldn't shock me if they told the company, with your 20% time, if somebody can think of something in its place before next whatever, we're going to implement it come next August. I don't know. I have no idea, but why wait?
Or G++ will be ready by then.
Or whatever, because they're not making money off of Google Plus. They're not making money off of Google Plus. Why wait? There has to be a reason.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right, they're not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Good question.
I don't know, but and I'll say it like this, Eric. I have no problem saying all my initial thinking was completely wrong about the Assassin's Creed thing. I swore they were only going to let people do it on the highest end Chromebooks or higher end computers, and that was it.
We never know what Google's going to do. Well, that was a good guess. I mean, that was a good. I was with you when you said it. I had already signed up, and I would say, I don't know, anybody who wants to try it, go ahead and, I don't know if they're still open for signups, but give it a try. I mean, I'm sure if it's still open, they need your feedback.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, and I'm just thinking like next May, Google I/O, I'm thinking they're going to announce something game related, because I mean, if you guys don't know yet, the game industry makes more than the entertainment industry in like movies or TV. So there's a lot of money there to be had. And well, here's the big kicker, Eric. Ever since Windows 8 got launched, I've understood a couple things. Just because I don't think something is cool, something is smart, something is correct, what I got to understand is there's a huge percentage of people, like let's say with the Windows 8 thing, who literally don't use computers. They actively hate computers. When they do something groundbreakingly different, like Windows 8 Metro Tile interface, they're literally trying to capture the people who don't use computers, because I don't have a choice. I'm already using computers. I'm going to have to keep using computers. I just got to, you know, suck it up and deal with it kind of thing. So I believe when Google does the things that they do and the big companies do the things they do, part of it is they know they got you, you know, kind of like Comcast doesn't care if you leave. because they don't. Really don't. Verizon doesn't care if you leave because they really don't. Well, the only money that they're always after, it seems like, is the money they don't have. You know what I mean? That customer who isn't a customer, let's get them. Let's get them. Let's get them. And even though the game industry is making metric tons of money, there are a lot of people out there that don't play games.
Yeah.
More people that don't play games that do play games. So if Google does something game related, expect, if you consider yourself a gamer whatsoever, to be completely disappointed and think it's stupid.
Well, and they've teased it in there a little bit too. They've, you know, every now and then they throw the non-gamers a bone, you know, here for free. Here's a retro Pac-Man game you can play on any browser, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Honestly, for a lot of people, that Pac-Man game, they remember spending $50 on that cartridge or whatever and back in the day, and they played it for hours. You know, right. that they could play it for hours again, and Google just gave it to them. That's kudos to Google. Any Pac-Man apps this week?
Really, Eric, I'm not a fan of, I've never been a fan of Pac-Man, mainly because I sucked at it. I did like Baby Pac-Man. Do you remember that one?
No.
Okay. Pac-Man, Mrs. Pac-Man.
Baby Pac-Man.
There was at least one more, but Baby Pac-Man was half arcade screen, half pinball machine.
Oh.
So, that sounds familiar. I played that one just because it was different.
All right. Do you want to bring the first app?
Well, you already brought one app at least. Uh-huh. What I'm going to bring, and I'm going to bring this because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
You already brought this.
No. This one is the purchase one. I'm pretty sure I didn't bring it. Maybe? I don't think I brought this one. I did bring a couple, but I don't bring this is called Stardew Valley Tracker. See, now Eric's making me...
I'm going to look. No, you go ahead and talk about it. I'll look.
You can go ahead and look because I already am looking, and there's zero matches, so take that one. this is called Stardew Valley Tracker by Brad Abrams, Books and Reference, E for Everyone, $149 to buy, 49 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, eligible for family library, updated September 25th, 2018, sizes 2 megs, 1,000 plus installs, current version 1.0.6, requires Android 4.1 and up. This is basically a tool to help you actually plan days ahead of time, and will let you do like quick documentation. Like at the logic is at the end of the day wraps up and the screen waits for you to hit a button to move on. So that's the perfect time to basically go to your app, document some of the things that you did, some of the things that you need to do kind of thing, and then play the next day. Because once you start playing, unless you actively pause the screen, time does not stop kind of thing. So, you know, it's all about management, resource management. And the real reason I'm bringing this is because Stardew Valley is coming out for iOS. It's coming out for Android sooner or later. It is, to me, a great positive-based game. It's not a negative-based game. It's not about death. It's not about... it is about death. Grandpa dies seconds into it. But it's not about death. It isn't about murder. I don't think there's any murders that happen. There is an alcoholic. But it's not a negative game in the sense of you don't shoot people and see blood everywhere kind of thing. And it's about building resources up, building your farm, building relationships, going fishing, going mining, whatever.
So for those who have listened and still don't know what you're talking about over these last... So this is basically, it's like Farmville and Zelda put together?
The hardest thing about this game is to describe it, because while it looks archaic and minimalistic, it looks like something that literally could have came out in 94, okay, kind of thing. The problem with the game is as soon as you start playing, there's too many options for you to do. And then every day is only just more options of what to do. And there's no such thing as the perfect day, because it's all about preference, personal preference. What do you like? What do you, you know, what do you crave? What do you desire? What do you want to do? So the problem with the game is it's too hard to tell people what it is, because it's too many things.
So depending on who you are is what it is.
Right. And it's very difficult, I'll say, for a lot of people to get past that first hour worth of gameplay without encouragement from the outside. Because you're like, what is this? What is going on? This sucks. This is hard, you know, kind of thing. Because you're at level one, if you try to fish, you kind of suck at it because, you know, you're level one. The real reason I'm bringing this app, because I'm going to say this publicly now, Eric, is there is a chance I'm at least going to help be a part of a Stardew Valley-based podcast.
That's cool.
And here's the only reason why. Why the hell isn't there one already?
Yeah, that, and you can level up by getting all these guys' tips.
Well, that's the whole thing. You don't need tips because there is no perfection. You do it yourself kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, if you want to be a farmer, you can be a farmer. If you want to be a miner, you can be a miner. If you want to be a gambler, there's a casino, you can gamble.
So is this all on your own though? I mean, or is this a multiplayer, mega multiplayer game? Or is it all okay. just, go ahead.
Okay. There's the PC version and the Switch version. The Switch version is getting multiplayer any day. The PC version already has multiplayer, and there's already mods in place to where you can set up a server that will host the game, so you can have multiplayer and where you don't have to be there all the time. You know what I mean? Other people can play if you're not there and maintain the farm and upkeep the farm. You can literally share responsibility of your farm kind of thing. Or you can just play peer-to-peer where the host has to be online and then other people can join and you can do the same kind of thing.
Now, when you say PC version, is that Windows PC or could you play it in a browser?
Windows, Mac, Linux, no browser based, which I don't understand why it's not browser based, except it was originally written in C#. So I guess I understand it was .NET based.
So have you played it on your Linux box?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've put over 40 hours into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
And now on the Switch version, we believe we're only going to have peer-to-peer multiplayer, which isn't as good. There's no mods on consoles. So there's certain things you can't do. The mods can really enhance the game if you want, kind of thing. And to put it like this mildly, Eric, the difference about this game, Stardew Valley, is if you find a group of people, you find two people, whatever, that play this game, there's only one thing that you're sure of. They're not jerks. They're not trolls. They're not, you know, bad, is what I'm going to say. You go on Reddit, you find a Stardew Valley group, you go into that group and you post stuff. Even what you consider to be the stupidest question about the game, people will respond kindly. It's just the way it is.
You know, I've noticed Fortnite's the same way.
Yeah, sure. And with this game, a lot of people, I'll just say, use it almost as therapy because it's a non-violent game. There's certain things that happen in it that aren't, you know.
Oh, man. I want to stay away from this game.
You do because, listen, 99% of the people I mentioned this to, wherever you are, you will not like this game. It's not for everybody. There's no way it's for everybody, or else it would be, you know, crazy popular, which it's only mildly popular.
Fortnite's over.
It doesn't even have a podcast.
Huh? Fortnite's over, so that didn't last long.
I'm so happy, too. I'm so happy. Get the hell out of here. You suck.
They do have Fortnite mares now for Halloween time.
I know, but Call of Duty basically did the death blow. And that's okay because Tencent already admitted this is nothing more than an experiment. Every penny they were making, which at the end was over $2 million a day, they just took it as free money. And they're just going to take that money into further research and manipulation to try to maximize dollar amount, you know, because that's what they do. But yeah, Stardew Valley Tracker. If you have any inkling at all to play Stardew Valley, I definitely encourage you to have research tools that you can look up. Like back in the day, video games, you were supposed to sit down and figure it all out yourself. Stardew Valley, I think, is at least partially, they expect you to go at least look up certain things.
So this app is a big help for you in the game.
This is more planning, not research, because research is just as important. Like here's a good example. To go to your house, to Robin's house, where Robin is the person who could do your house upgrades, it takes in the game time-wise almost an hour and a half to 2 hours, I believe. Even if you go the short way, which is every 10 minutes is only 7 seconds.
I can't play that game.
No. But no. Listen, in our time, every, like, I think it is 17 seconds is 10 minutes. Or, you know, it's something short like that. So it really only takes like 2 minutes to walk around to her house. But in the game, it takes like 2 hours. You know what I mean? And time is money in the game. You cannot get time back. So you want to, before you leave the house, pause the game, look up a thing, see how much what you want cost, because sometimes you need clay, sometimes you need stone, sometimes you need gold, sometimes you need wood, sometimes you need different things. And you don't want to get there and say, I have that back at my house.
So
there's certain research things.
Ivor was asking, you know, what platform is Stardew Valley on? I told him the Switch. You mentioned a few other ones. Well, it just came out yesterday on iOS for iPhone and iPad. So Ivor, I would say don't go buy a Switch if you want to play this. If it just came out for iOS, it should be coming to Android soon. So you should be able to experience it on a device you already own soon.
And I'll just put it like this. I hate politics getting into anything, whether it be Linux or whether it be Android or a game. I hate when politics get involved with things because I don't want my politics in there. Politics are for politics, not for operating system or games. But Concerned Ape, his name is Concerned Ape, literally, because he said, I'm concerned and I'm a primate kind of guy. Yeah, I mean, it's just, so there is a little messages in the game. They're not crazy. I'm going to say they're not, you know, insistent. They're not punching you in the face through your face with the message, but like you can accidentally get trash in a trash can of all places, but you can also like fish and get trash too. And then you can get a recycling machine and recycle stuff and get stuff, useful stuff out of it. So there's little things like that that are actually, you know, political is what I'll say. But here's the thing. He's unbelievably smart and nice because it's literally made by one guy. On the PC, it's $15. On the Switch, it was $15. On mobile, he already said $12. It's going to be less. You know what I mean? Where some game people make no sense about their prices. I'll say that. And more than likely, you wait 3 weeks to 6 weeks and you'll be able to get it on sale on Android for $7 or something. But yeah, and here's the thing. On iPad, the people say on the iPad Pro is the place to play it because of they have proper multitasking. So you can have an app like this up in the same screen.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to probably, I already made the word, see, I don't do nothing. I actually made a doc up with like, what should the show be called? Do we already have theme music? Do we have an email account? Do we have a preferred email account? Do we have a preferred email service? Do we have any accounts on any social media planned? And I listed all the social media things I could. And then it was like, you know, do you want this to be more community driven or community accessed? Do you want actual sessions where you could open it up and have people come on? Is your goal to make money? Of course, that's a question is down by the bottom, because if the answer is yes to that, then I'm not doing it probably. But, you know, I don't mind helping people. So that's how it started out. But knowing me, I'll probably be on the show because, you know, Stardew Valley. And here's the thing, Eric. I've been talking a lot, but here's the thing. I got a 90-day report from Nintendo telling me how much game time I had playing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have no time to play games. In 90 days, I had 3 hours.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
That's not that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
That is nothing.
Yeah. But, you know.
Did the PC give you a report on how many hours you spent on it?
No, which it wouldn't be much either. But so you can get it on GOG, Good Old Games, where it's DRM free for $15, or you can get it on Steam for $15. Once in a while, it goes on sale for like $10. And I will say on PC, both of them with the mod environment, if you watch any YouTube videos whatsoever, and then you go to play it on Switch, you might be a little bit upset because something's not available because it's only available in a mod.
Mm. So I got so excited. Ivor left the chat. He was in here talking with us. Like anybody who wants to listen live on Thursday nights, we start at 8 p.m. Eastern. But he had put a little nugget in there of show titles. So those who don't listen to the end and don't hear about this, the people in the chat room get to create the show titles for the show. I got so excited. I hit awesome and hit enter, and somehow I cleared out my, I blew away that tab. So Dor, I'm counting on you. Oh, wait, I might have just found it.
You never want to count on me.
Yeah. Okay. Nope. Never mind. I'm not going to count on you.
Okay.
I'm just logged in as two different people right now. Okay. That's cool. We still got it. But he put a paste bin of show titles already in just the short amount of time he was in there. All right, I've got an app. So I'm going to bring this back to my new watch. I found an app for it called, I'm going to say that this is called Rontivity. And this is a game for Wear OS. Just something that you can have on your phone when you really get bored, or if you're standing in line, you don't want to whip out your phone. It's actually a pretty decent little game. It's a round circle, because I got a round watch now. And basically, you just tap on it to, man, my mouse is messing with me, man. Bad tonight. So there's a bunch of balls spinning around on a circle, and you need to avoid them by tapping. And when you tap, you change. It's basically like changing lanes like an endless runner game, I suppose. But it's in a circle. And it just keeps count of how many times you pass a ball and make it. It's not easy, but it's kind of cool.
Well. when they start moving, I can see it getting really difficult. Well, but here's the question. Because the screen they're showing looks like a phone screen.
Yeah, this is only... Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah. It does look like a phone screen, but no, this is... I don't know if you can play it on your phone. I don't even think it installed on my phone when I installed it.
Oh, so it's like directly on your...
On my watch. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that explains why you don't get all-day battery, Eric.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it is not installed on my phone at all, but it is on my watch.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I like finding alternate uses. Like, I don't even know if you know, Eric, the original definition of the word hacker, was basically for someone who would find playful, alternatives and rearrangements of things was what it meant, not breaking into systems. So to use a watch to play a game, not your traditional way to experience a game.
Do you know what the original, meaning of geek was?
Yeah. I do. Chicken. It was a carnival person who would bite the head off a chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I know. So when I was a geek, when I was younger, I was like, that ain't cool, man. That ain't cool.
We had a movie filmed here called Luther the Geek back when I was in like grade school. And it was a locally filmed movie. And it was about that. Some dude did that and went around biting the heads off people too.
Alrighty.
There you go. Halloween movie recommendation. What you got, Dor?
What I got next, honestly, I've been saying honestly a lot. I haven't used this yet. I do intend on it. I did ask the guys from the Makers show if they used it. They said they never heard of it. This is called Rolling Up Filament Spool Manager for 3D Printing from Anthony Steffen. The word rolling up is all one word. There is no spaces. Productivity app, not a game. You're welcome, Lyle. 18 reviews, contain ads, does have in-app purchases, free to install. The pay is to get rid of the ads. I'm 99% sure. August 3rd, updated, 6.7 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs. Current version 1.12 requires 4.1 and up an Android content rating. Again, E for everyone, $4.49 for the in-app purchase. Okay. What this app is to do, what this app's goal to do is to be like a library, a odometer, if you will, of all your filament. Because a lot of times when you have a 3D printer, you don't just have one roll of filament. You got the blue and you got the red and you got the purple kind of thing. And then you say to yourself, I don't want to print this in red. I want to print this in purple. So then you got to take it out, disconnect it, take all the filament out, put the new one on, put it on. But the worst thing that can happen is if you run out of filament during a print. So with every print, with every slicer, which is the final application you use in preparation before sending it to the printer, it will tell you approximately how much filament that you use based upon the diameter of the filament that you picked, kind of thing. So then you basically just, in this app, you can record and keep track of how much filament that you're using for any given color. You can keep adding them. You can give them names. So you can say Zealtech Silver, Zealtech, you're the best. I love you. If anybody could sponsor this show and I actually be in support of them sponsoring this show, Zealtech is one of those companies. Kind of thing.
Filament. I concur.
Prices. Yeah. So what this app basically does, it just helps you with your management. Kind of like Stardew Valley with your resource management of money and farms. This is filament management IRL, or as the kids used to say 10 years ago, in real life.
This is an inventory management system for your filament. That's nice. I like that.
And it's made by somebody outside the U.S., so you know he actually probably worked hard for it.
Got a good look.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
It's got a nice look to it. I like how it gives you a visual graph of how much you have of each color. You get the color of the filament and then a visual representation of how far it's wrapped around the outside of that circle. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. The only bad thing I'll say about this app is if this guy could have came up with this idea like 8 months earlier, I'm sure he would have seen a lot more success, because this is the kind of app, if you're already halfway through a roll, you don't want to start using it because you feel upset. So you want to get as many people as possible when they start rolls. So this is even the kind of app, if you already have a printer and you already have been using some of your filament, don't worry, install the app. Next time you buy a roll, add it to the app.
Yeah, I mean, even if you have a lot of filaments and you just want, you know, I can't remember what kind of colors, you know, I thought I had a yellow, but do I have gold? You know, just keep track of what you have anyway, even if you don't have the accurate counts on them.
Right. And I'll just say, I am so stupid, Eric, because if I had any like acumen in my brain whatsoever, I would have bought at least one spool of an orange like a month ago. Because, you know, I don't know, maybe October, a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Liam, good friend Liam, I love to get him drunk and punch him. he just printed like a Minecraft jack-o'-lantern. And I believe it's like a little LED light inside, like a candlelight kind of thing inside. Looks phenomenal. It looks so cool. I tell you right now, if he lived in my neighborhood, I'd steal the thing off his porch.
Wow.
I would. And Aaron, another guy, great guy. He's the guy who keeps saying no to me, even though we keep asking to go to conferences. He has, I want to say it's a 2.5 to 3 foot tall Lego skeleton that he printed in individual pieces. And this year he printed like a 2.5 tall horse that the skeleton's going to sit on. So, and what I think he's going to do is he's going to take the head off, because it's all modular, because it's Lego. I think he's going to take the head off and put the head in the guy's hand to make him the headless horseman.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
That is really smart, I got to say. And I'll say this, literally with the 3D printer, one that cost less than, or well, about $300, you can literally print 3 foot tall Lego figurines. I don't know what more you want.
Yeah. I mean, how much money can you save in Legos if you just print your own?
Legos are a complete ripoff. Doesn't matter how you look at it. They are a complete ripoff. Now, what you print, it's going to take you time to get it honed in, to really get it in, but it's quite simple. Printabrick.com. Printabrick.com. They basically have everything that Lego ever created right there in STL format that you can download. So, yeah.
My kids are college age, so we don't do too much Legos here no more, but there's always the next generation coming.
They are so painful to step on. They really are. Yeah, I don't know how they achieved such a level of pain, but thank God they're not in the torture business.
My turn? So I got this notification today from Google, and they're like, hey, check this out. You're not going to find it in the App Store, but if you join us, we will install it on your phone. And it's called Bulletin. And I have to say, I haven't gotten into it too much, but it looks like, to me, it's a way to post a bunch of pictures off of your phone about a specific event or place or something that you feel passionate about and put out there. And not only is this something you would just share with your family, but this actually will be on the web and searchable on the World Wide Web, on the internet. Like, Google searches will bring this up of the thing you've created. That's all I can say about it.
So if you don't take pictures, it's useless?
I would say it's pretty much useless, yeah, because this is going to be basically a bunch of pictures with captions.
Well, since they're charging $800 for a phone that can only take pictures and do nothing else at the same time, I guess that makes sense.
I have not seen that to be true yet, but they have some example ones, like the Pilgrimage Festival 2018. So basically, a bunch of short video clips, a picture of somebody playing extra large, huge size Connect 4, some more video clips. Like 5 second, are they all 5 second video clips? Yeah, some of them are longer.
Yeah, I did see a gigantic Connect 4 thing the other day. Here's the thing. Anything involving Google and video has no choice but to be successful. I mean, the number two search engine is YouTube. The amount of traffic that goes through YouTube is sick. So for them to expand on any kind of video, moving pictures kind of thing, for them to not be successful, it's going to have to be really bad. So it wouldn't shock me if this is going to be fine, normal, successful, blend in, and people will just take for granted that it's there.
Yeah, I guess that they're trying to, it's like a picture story you're supposed to give with your pictures. So I don't know. I haven't decided how to try it out or what subject I would do. I don't know. I did enjoy watching Dirty Thumbs. He put up a video the other day of a day with Dutch, and I did enjoy watching him run and bike and go kayaking. I'm like, man, I'm actually more like Dirty Thumbs than I remember being, except for the running and riding bike part. But I've kayaked once or twice.
He is so dirty. I gotta say, I love that guy. He is the guy who's lucky he doesn't live close to me. Because, just really cool guy, really awesome guy, doing the Average Runner podcast and Negative Splits, I think, are the two that he's doing right now. And Horrified Chicken is still doing good. Horrified Chicken is, on this show, it was well known that he hated horror movies with a passion, would not sit down and watch them, would literally, like, forcibly walk out of the room, not watch it. But his wife convinced him to sit with her and watch horror movies, and then the entire podcast is basically her making fun of him, him trying to defend himself. It's really damn funny is what I'm going
to
say.
I'll have to check that out. I don't think I've even heard that.
Oh my goodness.
I will.
It is just, let me tell you something. There's going to be at least more than one occasion where you are going to want to hit pause and instantly just ping SJGeek89 on Twitter or something. Mm-hmm. Because,
I can see that. It looked like when he was going on his... We've got a similar river. I mean, as far as the way his river was flowing and the spiders and the trees and all that stuff. It's pretty funny. Do you want me to empty my tank or do you got?
Well, just really quick, the one thing I will say about running, long story short, people, I used to run literally 2.8 miles in just under 15 minutes. That's basically 5 minute miles, 3 5-minute miles. So that's not easy. I know what running is. I know what it can do. One of the things I've heard podcasters say is, quite literally, somebody who is actually a runner kind of thing, you literally should be able to run at a comfortable rate and talk very normally and not have, crazy deep breaths or, not able to talk kind of thing.
While running or after you're done?
While running, because you don't want to run so fast that you're actually taxing yourself, is their logic, in their type of running where you do the marathon type running, the 5K type.
The hand of 100.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to be shocked if he doesn't put out more content like that, because I felt that I really don't want to know what people's daily routines are. But when it comes to Dirty Thumbs, I thought that was really damn good, and I would watch more.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very enjoyable. And he's got a great GoPro. It looked really nice.
Yeah, but he had a selfie stick, so he lost a lot of credit with me.
Well, as long as you're not seeing him using it,
I know, and I know he'll say it wasn't a selfie stick, it was a gimbal. Yeah, same thing.
It's not. I wanted to bring, I don't know, we've never brought this, I guess, somehow, but YouTube TV. So Comcast, my good friends at Comcast said, oh, we'll give you double your speed on your internet, and we'll give you HD, and we'll take away all those channels you don't watch, and we'll reduce your monthly bill. Well, that sounds great. All we got to do is we got to send you some new boxes because you don't have the right boxes right now. Like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Because they closed our local office, and now I would have to drive like 80 miles to get to another office, even though the one was in my town. So they sent them to me. They sent me three boxes, only two HDMI cords, and two of the boxes don't work right off the bat. So I invited my parents over to watch the Bears game, and... So I don't have any cable boxes to watch the Bears game on. So I decided, well, what the heck? I will, I'll buy a service. I love Philo still. That's my streaming service. $16 a month, 40 channels or 36 channels. Everything you want to watch on TV, if you want to watch on TV. All your TV except for sports and news, which is perfect for me because I don't like watching sports and I don't like watching news. So YouTube TV has CBS. I tried to get it off over the air on an antenna, but for some reason our CBS stations are weaker than all the other ones, so I couldn't do that either. YouTube TV had the game, and they have a free 7-day trial, so you can try it out. So I did, and I gotta say, Philo's quality was better as far as latency and like swirling and things like that. YouTube TV, I had a lot of staggering issues like that, and bandwidth issues, it seemed. Philo, PHIL, was better. This one did have a ton of sports, though. If you are into sports, the YouTube TV for, I think it's $40 a month, has it's got 60-plus channels, including your local sports and news. Now, I first signed up, and I put in my zip code, and they're like, oh, we're sorry, you don't have any local channels that we could stream to you, so you're out right now. So I just used my go to 60614 zip code from Chicago. And that's also how I got in the Project Fi, like 2 years earlier than they would have let me. But yeah, 60614 is a great zip code if you ever need anything that you can't get in your own zip code. So I signed up. It was super simple to get going and for free for 7 days. It was great. But I don't see me spending the kind of money on that one at this point. Other than that, though.
Gotcha. Well, the people I know, I'll say, who have tried YouTube TV or who do have YouTube TV, I'm not even sure they're sports people now that you say that out loud. I do know at least one of them is a news person. And they had very, very good things to say about it. So I'm going to guess it was a live streaming thing was more of the issue than the content itself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Than like the actual service itself.
And I could see it. If somebody is into TV, news, and sports, and they use a DVR that they're renting from their cable company, this is a great solution for that. I mean, Philo also does the DVR, and it's super simple. You just, you know, you pause it when you get up, go to the bathroom, and hit play when you get back, and then you can fast forward through some commercials later. The interface is almost identical to Philo, to the entire thing. I was surprised at how similar they are, because, you know, you go like from Amazon Video to Netflix to Philo to YouTube, the interfaces are not similar, but these are exactly the same.
Yeah, see, now I gotta say this because this is how I am. Mm-hmm. Hey, One Network not on here, Cooking Network. I'm going to tell people right now, if you ever were a fan of Alton Brown, if you know the name, then you are a fan of him. His show Good Eats, right now on the Cooking Network, they're doing Good Eats Reloaded, where he's literally right now, today kind of thing, sitting and going through certain key episodes of that series back then. But he's updating them with correct content. He said, because when I said this, I said it wrong kind of thing.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Really interesting food guy who actually explains cooking and how the chemical reactions and stuff and the fat protein and kind of thing. He's a really smart guy. At least he comes off like that. And I really like his content, and he's on the Cooking Channel, and YouTube TV doesn't have Cooking Channel. So if I were to be a YouTube TV subscriber, I guess I'd have to use torrents.
Is there's like a new cooking show now with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart, isn't there?
I hope not.
I think there
wouldn't shock
no,
me.
I think there is. I can't remember.
I don't know. I know Netflix is banking on, because Bordeaux is dead, she was going around experiencing cultures through food just like him. There was something she was doing that was different, though.
Yeah.
Can I remember what it was?
So this is on VH1. It's called Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party. They're on their second season, Dor.
Great, I guess. I don't know.
I should be watching this. I wonder if I got VH1.
And I got this Asus Zenfone here.
Yeah.
That I was trying to like prep in case I needed it for a backup phone. I want to say this is not a Zenfone 2. I cannot remember. Maven Group, thank you for, he's the guy who sent me this a year ago, whatever. I used it for a good amount of time. Unlike American phones in American stores, this phone sold overseas, and it expected you to be an administrator, not just an end user. Can't take the battery out on the back, which is kind of weird.
It looks like you could.
That's how it is.
You can slide it sideways or something.
No. There is no sliding that battery sideways at all.
And Maven Group also gave me my first smartwatch. The one that just recently passed away.
Oh, that's right. The battery isn't lasting a long time. Now when I booted up, when I first booted up, everything seemed to work. Now when I booted up, the Wi-Fi will not turn on. And I will say the phone is literally physically hot, pretty hot. So I'm going to still keep trying this thing, because the logic is, if the Honor 8 dies abruptly, I want to have something to use so I don't have to that day buy something.
If you want to do a battery replacement, I've got a well-used Nexus 6P with a bad battery and a cracked screen. It's a very small crack in the screen.
Wait a minute. Let me think about it for a second. No, I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, it doesn't do much.
There is a guy at work with a Moto X Pure that I might end up using, but that phone, just like the Nexus 6, too damn big. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. Too damn big.
Too damn big.
Too damn big.
All right, Dor, you got anything you want to empty your tank with?
I'm not sure. Let me take a look. Honestly, not really. The only thing I'll end with here, and I think it's kind of funny, because I think Alphabet Scoop and one other person did comment on this, I think appropriately is what I'm going to say. The Google Hub is the $100 device.
$150
device that people, I literally heard people say, $150, that ain't a lot of money.
I don't think it is either for that.
No. $150. If you just blanketly spend $150, that's not pennies.
Oh.
Okay, maybe if you live in San Francisco and you pay like $4,000 a month of rent, $150 ain't a lot of money. But $150 in most people's budgets in the United States is at least a 3-4 person meal, if not a 5-6 person meal. That's not something that people spend money without thinking about. Okay. Two, this is running what looks like an Android operating system on it, which made people believe when they first saw this device, it is going to be running Android things. Android things is the thing that they wouldn't shut up about for about a year now, about how great it is. Come to find out, it literally only works on very selected hardware and nothing else. It is utterly hardware dependent. And what I think is funny is the exact same company telling people to use Android things about how it's the next greatest thing. The same company, who I'm sure is disconnected from that Android things department, designed and made this, and it's not running Android things. What it's actually running is a version of the Chromecast operating system. I said that slow for a reason. It's not running Chrome OS. It's running a version of the Chromecast operating system. Now, the Chromecast operating system is the exact same kernel from Chrome OS, but it has things removed from it. It has a much more simplified interface. That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. And what I was led to believe was if they did use Android thing sufficient hardware, it would have been closer to $225.
I think, if I didn't already own a Chromecast, the full version, you know, the original one that I think I paid $150 for then, I would certainly be interested in this one. But now, I've got the full-size Chromecast in my kitchen. I've got a Chromecast Mini that came free with my phone downstairs. I can't see any reason to have a third Chromecast in my house. But to have, and I guess the speaker on this, the Chromecast still has a great speaker. It's a good sounding piece of hardware. This
Chromecast?
I'm sorry. Google Home. I'm sorry. Okay. Google Home and Google Home Mini. Thank you for correcting me on that. I would have kept going that the whole time. So this has the Chromecast operating system on it,
Yeah. Not
Google Home. I wonder if that's the same thing.
Well, it wouldn't shock me if the Home is a trimmed down version of that as well. Because that's the whole thing. To me, it's not, and I wasn't saying it to say it's an incompetent or incapable thing, but the company can't even use their own damn stuff.
Yeah.
What it's intended for. And here's the best part. No camera.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good.
Well, but the company selling a $799 camera that's a crappy phone, and the one that's publishing that billboard stuff or whatever it was called, camera video focus stuff, to put out a device like this without a camera in it. It shocks me. It literally shocks me. And I like the fact that there's no camera in it. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, especially when you see Facebook's thing that you were talking about earlier that's all about the camera. But using our Chromecast, we use our Google Home a lot, and not just for music, but just to ask questions and set timers and little things like that, you know, recipes. But for it to have the weather and the recipes showing up on the screen, I think that would be, if I didn't already have a Google Home, I would buy this probably.
I know. I'll just put it like this. I'm really happy. I can say this on this show without anybody getting upset at me. I'll say this. Nightwise.com, literally 4 years ago or something, went through great detail explaining one of the things that he wanted in his house. It was basically this, just a little bit bigger, because this is small. This is very small. This is not big. Okay. This is one of the things everyone has to realize. This is not big. This is actually near phone size.
Well, it's a 7-inch basically. So the tablet, like your cheap Amazon Kindle Fire, the cheapest $30 one you can get, is that size.
Right. And the fact that it has what I think a hell of a lot of people would love to have instantly available to them, like walking downstairs in the morning, to just turn to the side and see what the weather looks like, what the traffic looks like, what is on the itinerary. Did somebody leave you a digital note?
Mm-hmm.
Mom, going to be late tonight. Got to do this. You mean kind of, which I'm pretty sure this can probably do is what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you now, Eric, the functionality of this device might make me say, I don't care and buy it.
Well, and that's a thing with the Google Home. Since I bought it, it's been 2 years now, year and a half. It's got to have been 2 years. The functionality has changed so much. Even though it's only voice controlled, the things it responds to and the way it acts, they have, it went from Android, you know, Honeycomb to Android P along with me, kind of, you know what I mean? It's been a lot of upgrades, constant upgrades to that hardware. So they do maintain their support on these so far.
Well, they will, but you know, they have planned everybody who puts out any level of hardware will eventually stop supporting it. And that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. When a company's upfront about it, I honestly feel better about it rather than finding out, oh, this thing's only, I only bought this thing a year ago. Now they're not, you know, I much rather know ahead of time. I don't know what the Google Home life expectancy is, but there has to be one.
Yeah. Afterwards, you still got a decent Bluetooth speaker when that day comes.
Gotcha. Do you do the good morning routine to it?
I don't.
See, that's the only thing, if I had one, that's the only thing I would use like incessantly, because on my phone, because now my speaker's blown, I had to connect a Bluetooth piece to it. And then in the morning, I come downstairs and I just say good morning to the phone. And then I hear what the weather's going to be like, if there's anything on my daily schedule. And then it goes into the news, which my news stream takes about like 4 hours to go through.
The Google Home is kind of embarrassing to use unless everybody knows you're using it, because it's usually way too loud for the rest of the sleeping people in the house if you go to use it first thing in the morning.
Wow.
Or it just really draws attention. But if everybody, you know, say if everybody's in the room or everybody knows that you're going to say, okay, Google, that's, you know, sorry about that, everybody. That's one thing. But if you're by yourself, it's okay too. But if there's people mm-hmm. in different rooms doing their own thing and it starts rattling off some answer to some question you ask, it's awkward a little bit.
Yeah, I will say if I was single, it would be much more usable.
Oh yeah,
kind of thing. But now, because like here's the question: if you don't use it for the good morning thing, what do you use it for? Because you use a lot, right?
It gets used every day. We all use it different ways. I mean, like my wife used it this morning to set an egg timer for 16 minutes for her egg cooker that you use. We use it for.
I love the Dash cooker.
Yeah, we use that a lot. We use it for the timer on the Dash. I don't know. I listen to music on it. I ask random questions. You know, instead of looking up anything on my phone, I'll just ask it. You know, and it'll. Pretty much spit out an answer for me.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that I will say is I'm thinking now scheduling things in the calendar is literally like beneficial. What I did was I have my son Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every week in his calendar. It says today's band day. Don't forget to bring your trumpet. So every morning now I have him, when he gets out of the shower, he's drying off his phone. His phone has to be on him at all times, even when he's in the shower. So he unlocks the phone. Okay, Schmoogle, good morning. And then it tells him what the temperature is going to be like. He knows properly how to dress, because I'm tired of telling him how to dress. As far as I'm concerned, he's a man. He can do it himself. But it also will like tell him today is Wednesday. Do not forget you have band today, kind of thing. So the act of calendaring combined with the good morning routine they have, I think is nice. But Amazon just literally did whisper mode. Did you hear that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be a good thing. I suppose that.
I'll say this: if they could also enable it to basically, you could like on your phone be quieter when whisper to it, and have the Google Home do stuff, and that's even better.
That would be.
I don't know.
Yeah, if I could talk to my watch and have my Google Home respond, yeah, that would be nice.
Do you have any Chromebooks?
I do.
Okay, I encourage you, boot it up, go into settings, go into about check for updates, check for upgrades, let it do its thing. My Chromebook Flip, asked me, do I want to be better connected? What? Yeah, sure. I want to be better connected. And it said, okay, you're now better together with connected devices. And then I come to find out it's a new feature on Chrome OS called Better Together, which really does sound like some sort of tyrannical thing getting ready to take over all the people and enslave them. Just
good point.
But the problem is I enact it on my Chromebook and it says I have a compatible device, my Honor 8, and then it basically just says waiting for verification and it doesn't do anything else. So it didn't work. But if I'm led to believe what it is, it's going to be a more seamless experience between Chrome browser on your phone and Chrome OS thing. So literally, I can leave a tab up on my Chromebook, turn it off, go to my phone, hit Chrome, and it will launch that page that I had loaded already, kind of thing.
That's...
I believe.
Okay. Well, no, I can see that. I mean, there's been apps that have done that before a little bit, you know, to iteration, to have it built in. That's nice.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to do something else. I just don't know what.
I heard something about it, but I can't remember what it was. All right. I think we'll wrap it up. 7 more days till Halloween Silver Shamrock. Get that stuck in your head. Do you remember that show, that movie?
No.
Halloween? It's like, oh. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. I'm not a horror movie guy.
Shamrock. It was some kind of subliminal commercial for Silver Shamrock Halloween costumes. And when you watch the show, when you watch the commercial, it would put you into some sort of a trance and turn you into like a zombie. Quote. Anyway, we do have a couple things from Ivor for the show title, so that's cool. We'll pick one of those. Thank you, Ivor. I know so. So, I guess, do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap up, Dor?
No, just thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I thank you guys, too, and thanks for the emails. We still have voicemails we can play, too. If we don't have any. That's the thing. We would play them if we had some. 7076 Podnut. If you want to leave us a voicemail, and more than just an email, you can hear yourself on the podcast and show it off to your friends and everything when you're show. Hey, man, I was a part of this podcast, and you will be. I don't have an app rundown. Do you have a list of the apps for tonight, Dor?
Yeah. What I have is Live Case from Google, ZTE Quartz Watch. We have the list of infected, compromised applications. We have Stardew Valley Tracker. Then we have Ronotivity. After that, we have Rolling Up Filament Spool Manager for 3D printing. Then we have Google Bulletin, YouTube TV, Google Home Hub.
All right. Well, maybe so next week is Halloween on a recording night. I don't think we'll probably be able to make it.
It's on a weekend?
No, it's on a Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Yeah, sorry.
What show are we doing?
No, sorry.
It's on a Sunday. So, all right. I don't know if we'll be back next week. If not, we'll be back 2 weeks, and we'll have recovered from our sugar comas or whatever we do with the chocolate. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you then.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from the
Podnuts
World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the
Podnuts
World Service are supported by
Podnutsians and
advertising.